Radio Network all across America, 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
Retired Trooper Monty Dial, the Texas Highway Patrol, is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the answers that you hear, the information is up to date as of today, February 1st, 2010. Can change without notice, and all the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. You can always go to askthelaw.org, submit your questions there. All you have to do is click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law. They'll get those questions answered as soon as possible. And we thank R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA for doing this for years and years. 800-288-9227. You got a question or a comment about hours of service? The hours of service listening sessions are over. You can still make your comments at fmcsa.dot.gov. You can make your comments here anytime. 800-288-9227. If you want to give your opinion on hours of service, maybe what you think it should look like. It's going to change again. How should it work? Is the current rule, is that working for you? Maybe some more flexibility. What would you like to see in the hours of service rule to make it work for you? The texting ban, maybe you have a comment on that, or a question, more importantly, to get some answers. 800-288-9227. We were talking about the public comment period, and on hours of service especially, and how the public hearings are over, at least the listening sessions are over,
right.
But online you can still go to fmcsa.dot.gov, and it's important that drivers do that. But you were talking about that before the break.
And what they do is once they post the NPRM, they allow comments to be sent in. Typically, most of them are handwritten and mailed or emailed using electronic deal.
Right.
Most of the associations, trucking associations, will provide their comments. You'll have some trucking associations at the state level that'll get involved. Also, you'll have some of the larger corporations, trucking corporations,
right,
that will
right.
Provide their comments. And then you've got the people on the other side of the fence that are totally against it, gives them a chance to. And I honestly believe that based upon the prior experience of FMCSA receiving comments, they were actually, this is the one time that they were giving truckers the ability to voice their comments, and they were specifically looking for truck drivers to give their comments. In all the years that I've been working before I retired, both with the state and with FMCSA, the truck driver has always taken a back seat.
Yeah.
Anytime any new rules were passed. And I think this administration with Ann Farrow, I think that she realized that the truck driver's the one that has the butt in the seat,
mm-hmm.
and they were actually looking for the drivers to be the ones up front that would actually step up and say, yes, we like this part, or no, we don't like this part.
Yeah.
And the part we don't like, this is the reason we don't like it, so that when they go back and rewrite the current rules as they're written now,
mm-hmm.
the driver's voice would be heard, and he would be involved in the writing.
Yeah, because drivers, this is the way it happens. They have these listening sessions or public comment periods, and there's always, inevitably, there's plenty of organizations out there that want to go in, and then they want to issue their concerns and everything else. And, yes, the ATA represents carriers, and OOIDA represents owner-operators, and that representation is important. But that feedback from individuals is also important, because we also realize that you may be, you may work for a carrier that is an ATA member, But the ATA doesn't represent your concerns or doesn't isn't going to issue the same concerns that you have there. We also know, as Monty pointed out, they're not the ones with the butts in the seats. With all due respect to all of them, they're not the ones driving. I had an email that asked me, hey, did you make a comment? I have made the comments online, but at the listening sessions, to me, that's about the driver, and I don't drive. I think it's important for the drivers to be involved and say, this is what works for me. And so that's what they're looking for. That's what has to happen here in order for it to be effective. Otherwise, you get a set of rules that reflects the concerns of ATA, OOIDA, public citizen, or whoever makes their comments, and not the driver. And again, fmcsa.dot.gov. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Let's get to you, 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Rick. Rick, hi. You're on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi, Rick.
Howdy.
Hey.
Yeah, trucking along down here in Midlothian on 287. And I don't understand, what is this CSA 2010? Is this something that needs to scare the daylights out of me? What is this?
Well, it doesn't need to scare the daylights out of you, but it will. It is a significant change. It's a significant change in how people will be able to access the information that is noted about you. I'm going to let Trooper Dial, in fact, as the expert here, explain what that means to you as a driver. What should, first of all, give the basics, and then maybe what he should be concerned, what will concern him along the way, Trooper Dial.
Okay, what they've done, Rick, is prior to 2006, the FMCSA had a compliance review program. And this is where they came in, did a compliance review to determine whether or not the company and their drivers were in compliance with the regulations. They came up with a system called CSA 2010 to where now then the driver is going to play the biggest role in safety now. What happens is under the compliance review program, the motor carrier was the only one that was ever penalized. And the companies were saying, well, wait a minute, why am I the only one being penalized? You know, we hire a driver, we teach a driver what to do, and the driver, for whatever reason, doesn't do it, and yet you're coming back and penalizing us. So FMCSA came up with the CSA 2010, and what it's going to do is every time a driver goes through a roadside inspection, irregardless of whether the driver gets a citation or a warning, FMCSA doesn't distinguish between a citation and a warning. They look for an entry on a roadside inspection. Each one of those violations will carry a weight based upon the severity of the violation. It is time weighted against that violation resulting in the driver being involved in a crash. What they will do is the driver will receive a score, and based upon this score, it's broken down into, if a driver has, they break them into three groups. You'll have a group of drivers that will have three inspections. You will have another group of drivers that will have 4 to 6 inspections. Then you'll have another group of drivers that will have 7 or more inspections.
What determines the amount of inspections they'll have? The size of the carrier?
No, this is how many inspections the driver has gone through at roadside.
Okay, so depending on how many you have had,
right,
you will be in a certain group.
Peer group 1, peer group 2, or peer group 3.
All right.
You will be compared against the other drivers in either peer group 1, peer group 2, or peer group 3.
Okay.
Based upon your score, then FMCSA will send you a letter. If your score is too high in your peer group, if your score is too high, FMCSA is going to send the driver a letter. Now, this will also apply to the company, but we're going to talk mainly with the drivers.
Okay.
Once you receive that letter, it will tell you that you have a problem. Houston, we got a problem.
Okay.
You will have to respond to FMCSA. You've got to sit down and write them a letter and tell them what you're going to do to correct the problem.
Okay.
Then we these inspections are updated every 3 months, or every 30 days. I'm sorry, every 30 days, your score is updated. Now, the inspections are based upon how long ago they occurred. 0 to 12 months will carry a certain weight. 12 months to 24 months carries a lesser amount of weight. 24 to 36 months carries a lesser amount of weight than the first two. So what they will have is you will basically have a three-year history in CSA 2010. And at any time, and to kind of make it simple so you can understand, it's you're put on this merry-go-round. The merry-go-round starts spinning. At some point, you're going to get thrown off. When you get thrown off, you're going to get a letter.
Based on the notable events on either roadside inspections or accidents, right?
Right. And once you get thrown off, then you've got to sit there and write them a letter and tell them what you're going to do to correct it. You get put back on the merry-go-round, you spin around for 30 days again, and they're going to look and see, did the scores go up, did the scores go down, whatever. And you'll spin around, and at some point you're going to get thrown off again. But when you get thrown off the second time, now FMCSA will come personally visit you. And between you and them, you're going to sit down and formulate a plan on how to correct all of this. And so that's basically how CSA 2010 will work.
And the carriers, by the way, will also, if they have a certain amount of drivers, Rick, that that are not following the rules, essentially, that have these notable items on their record as a carrier, they're also going to have to answer. So it's not just the driver that's going to have responsibility here. It's the carrier as well.
Okay. So I get pulled over for the inspection, and they're going through my logbook. So are they going to have access to my cell phone records? They're going to have access to my Qualcomm information to compare it to my logbook when they're doing these inspections?
No, no. What they will do is when a driver is pulled over at roadside, they will use what information they have available to them. If you are working for a company that uses your Qualcomm as a EOBR, then obviously you're going to have to put it up there and demonstrate that you know how to use it, and that also you're going to have to go back and retrieve your 7 previous days.
So the nature of the roadside inspections essentially hasn't changed.
Oh, no.
It's what items now will show up under CSA 2010 and be kept in this database.
Everything.
Yeah. So
okay,
it's,
I use Qualcomm as a communication device,
right,
and still run paper logs.
No,
right.
That's all they're going to look at is your paper logs.
Okay.
All right. So, it, you know, everybody will just have to keep their, you know, their T's crossed, their I's dotted, and make sure that everything is in line. But the carrier will have that responsibility, too. And we're going to explain more as we go along, Rick, and get closer to the full implementation of CSA 2010. And we do appreciate you being on this morning. Ask the Law returns here in just a moment. We've got more calls coming in right now, and you can get on board. Rick opens up a line for us at 800-288-9227. Back in a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Right back to you we go. Let's talk to George on I-45. George, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I had a comment about the waiting to dispatch. I received a violation because in between loads, I went off duty, not driving, and I received a violation because of the 5-hour span there, and the DOT told me that I had to go on duty, not driving, and take that off of my ending hours or my 70 hours.
Right, right.
And I'm saying that if I unload, I'm automatically waiting to be dispatched. You see my point?
Right,
so I could go,
right.
I would have to go up to 14 hours on duty, not driving, if I don't receive a load between that time.
That's
at least up to my 14 hours.
All right, Trooper Dial, we're coming up on a break here, and if you'll hold on for us, stand by. We're going to put you back on hold because I want to, in case Trooper Dial has any other questions along the way for you, I'll let you contemplate that and find out what he needs to know. Ask the Law, public service of Old Blue USA. All the information that you get on the program this morning is up to date as of February 1st. 2010, and the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are opinions only. Back in a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network. And Ask the Law, Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
And we are here with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol. He has been with us for many, many years, and he's here as a public service of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is their website. And we want to let you know that all the information, the answers that you hear this morning on the program are up to date as of February 1st, 2010. Can change without notice. The comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. 800-288-9227. Let's get back to George on 45 and talk with him about being on duty or not on duty if you're sitting and waiting to be dispatched. Trooper Dial, you and I kind of mulled over this. You being the expert, me just being the who kind of guy during the break. And what is it you would like to ask?
George, first off, how are you dispatched? Do they use a Qualcomm system?
No, just over the phone.
Over the phone.
Right.
All right, so when they find a load for you, they give you a call.
Right.
Okay. In that situation right there, there are some interpretations that you can go read in 395.2 that says that that time can be logged as off-duty.
Oh, well, this officer told me that whenever I'm waiting to be dispatched, I have to be on-duty, not driving. And now, technically, you could say that as soon as I unload, I'm waiting to be dispatched. And that would probably be up to the 14-hour rule where I would be forced to go off duty.
Well, it doesn't make any difference on the 14-hour rule. Once you start the 14-hour clock, your 14-hour clock is going to run unless you stop and take a 10-hour break or you go into the sleeper berth for 8 hours. Your 14-hour clock is going to keep running.
Right, but I'm saying that if I unload at 8 a.m. in the morning, according to this officer, I'm waiting to dispatch, or according to the rule, I'm waiting to dispatch, because I could be dispatched at any time up to the 14-hour rule on my log.
Right, but what you
so
need...
So that seems to penalize, unfairly penalize the driver's hours, even if I'm performing duties such as taking a shower, eating in the truck stop.
No,
that's what he violated me for.
No. You need to do a data queue on that. What you need to do is, do you have access to the internet?
Yes.
Go to this website.
Okay. Hang on. All right.
www.fmcsa.
All right.
.dot.
.dot. Okay.
.gov.
.gov.
Right. When you pull the website up, over on the left-hand side, about a third of the way down, you're going to see all regulations.
Okay.
Click on it. It's going to take you to another page, and it's going to start off with Part 658. Scroll down until you find Part 395.
All right.
Click on it. Now then it's going to take you to 395.1, 395.2, and so on and so forth. Out to the side of each one of those, you're going to see a word yes. That means that there are interpretations. issued under that section. So out to the right of Part 395-2, you're going to see the word yes. Click on it. It's going to bring you up to the page that has all of the interpretations. Go through there and read those. And one of the interpretations that you're going to find is if a driver has to carry a pager or a cell phone, something to the effect, is the driver considered to be on duty? And they're going to respond that no, just because he carries a cell phone or a pager, the driver is not on duty, and you can log it as being off duty.
One of the tests we gave it in the past, we asked, and this is a question for you here, George, are you required to stay with your truck while you're waiting to be dispatched? Say, if you unloaded and you know that immediately you're essentially effectively waiting to be dispatched, would you be able to go to a movie, catch a cab to the local mall or something like that, and be away from that truck?
Well, generally how it works is, once I get unloaded, I go to a truck stop, call the company. Sometimes it takes them 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes they already got a load waiting for me. So I generally go to the truck stop and try and do things for me before I get issued a new load.
You're off
like
duty.
Shower, eat. Right. Basically, I'm off duty, and then,
yep,
you know, they can call me in the middle of eating and say, we have a load for you. Here's,
yep,
the information.
That's off duty.
Well, that's what I told this guy. I was taking a shower and eating and waiting for my appointment time to go into the plant because I couldn't get in there until like 6 o'clock.
Okay.
At night.
All right, here's what you need to do, George. Get with your trucking company. Get with your safety director.
Wait a minute. Hold on. He just mentioned something. He was waiting on a time to go into the plant. Do you mean that you're already going to pick something up at that plant?
Right. I was dispatched to a certain town, drove the 45 minutes to the town, but I wasn't able to go actually to the plant until 6 p.m., so I went to the truck stop,
mm-hmm,
from approximately, yeah, I don't know, two to say, whatever time to get in there, and I went off duty,
yep,
for that time period.
You can do that. Go, like I said, get with your safety director and read those interpretations, and you want to figure out which one of those interpretations you're going to use. But you and your safety director need to sit down and do a data queue.
Okay.
And your reason for challenging the inspection or that violation is going to be one of the interpretations that you can find in 395-2.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good. Can I make one more comment about,
please,
the cell phones?
You bet. Go ahead.
I use GPS, too, as well.
Yeah.
But I have my wife with me, and a lot of drivers have their wives or someone else with them.
Yeah.
So this idea of the cell phone being shut off while moving, I don't think it's very practical.
Right, right.
Because
it
doesn't apply to every truck.
Yeah, well, you're right. It doesn't apply to every operation, and that's something that I have mentioned in the past. And thank you, George. We do appreciate your question and your comments. It comes down to this, is that there's going to be so many, again, this is why a proposed rulemaking, which we believe will be on the way, is necessary, because it will vet those concerns properly and allow, as far as the enforcement questions are concerned, to be asked. And that's what that's all about. This is why it's so important when there is a public comment period for any NPRM, notice proposed rulemaking. Every time that there is a public comment period, you should comment. Our industry needs to, as individuals, needs to get together and make those comments. FMCSA.dot.gov, comment on hours of service while you can. It's important. The listening sessions are over. I don't have any information that tells me there will be more. They added a fourth one, which was Davenport last week, and that's it. So it's important for you to get involved. And the way you do that is to make your comment during the public comment period.
They will also post any time, you know, and a driver, you know, I've heard some drivers say, well, I didn't know anything about it. One of the things that drivers need to do is make sure, save FMCSA as a favorite link. Go to it periodically, because
right,
they will take, and every time they do a notice of proposed rulemaking, they will always post it on their website. And if under the current comment right now, if you like them, send in your comments and tell them you like them. If you don't like them, send in your comments and tell them why you don't like them.
Well, and I've said that, and, you know, do it respectfully. Collect your thoughts and say, this is my operation. This is why I don't like it. This is why I believe there should be more flexibility. This is, and I believe it, this is the case for many drivers, or whatever case you want to make. Collect your thoughts and do that, because if they see a lack of participation, and what we saw in one of the other public comment periods surrounding hours of service years ago, was it was just a few hundred responses on the website. Certainly there was, I'm sure, some mail-in and fax-in stuff. But if there were only a few hundred on the website, you can bet there probably maybe were 1,000, maybe 2,000 total out of millions of drivers out there.
Yeah.
And if they see that, they're thinking to themselves, well, they don't care. Doesn't matter to them what the hours of service rule is or looks like or how it even affects them, because they didn't issue a concern. And they've got that. And any time there's a bureaucrat standing in front of a podium, they're going to say something like that. Well, we only had a few hundred responses at our website. So that tells us that that's not a huge concern among drivers. You might even see that in a news story somewhere, and nothing could be further from the truth. So you need to make sure that you get involved during any public comment period. We're back with Ask the Law in just a moment. Stand by.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary, Eric.
800-288-9227.
Right to Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Good.
Well, already said that, though. I got a question. It's kind of puzzling me. This point system and everything, I called up my company. They said I had 14 points. Some of the drivers that work for us and everything are other, they speak different languages, but they have more than 40 points. I'm just not understanding the whole aspect of that part of it, because they said they could fire me once I get up to 25.
Well, first off, Bill, there is no point system under CSA 2010. Drivers will be issued a score. The score is based upon the number or the type of violations, the severity of the violation, weighted against the probability that the driver is going to be involved in a crash. That's how the score is generated. Now, a company can come in and say, driver, once your score reaches a certain point, we're going to terminate you. Under CSA 2010, your driver's license or your ability to operate a vehicle will never be taken away from you.
But doesn't that mean that another company won't hire me because of what has just occurred?
Well, here again, what we're finding, Bill, is companies are stepping up and saying, okay, driver, once your score reaches a certain point, you will be terminated. You try to go to work for another company, they're going to set their policy up and says, we will never hire anybody that has a score over a certain amount.
So, but that'll be the policy of individual companies.
Yes.
Based on that.
Yes.
All right.
FMCSA will never suspend or deny you the right to operate a commercial motor vehicle.
They'll tell you you need to correct it, but they won't suspend
correct
you.
Correct. Under CSA 2010.
All right. We're going to talk more, I'm sure, about CSA 2010 next month on the March edition of Ask the Law, brought to you by Old Blue USA, a public service of Old Blue USA. Go to askthelaw.org anytime. Trooper Dial, thank you once
again.
Sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Be here.
It's the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.